I'd like to call to order the Madison Plains regular scheduled board meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley? Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Mr. President, we have a young man who is here who will help us with the pledge tonight, Mr. Ty Sollers. Thank you, Ty.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go to student recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I don't know if he actually returned to his seat, but I would like to have Mr. Ty Sollers come to the podium.
Front center.
Yeah, that's mine too. That works. Ty is our Rotary Student of the Month this month. He is a senior at Madison Plains High School, and so I would like to be able to read a little bit about him. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Ty Sollers as a Student of the Month for Madison Plains High School for the month of March. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Ty has a 3.57 grade point average, ranking him 17th in his class. His favorite class is FFA Ag. Ty has been on the basketball team during all 4 years of high school, and he has been a team captain in 9th, 10th, and 12th grades. He has also been on the powerlifting team and the baseball team for the past 3 years. Ty has also been in the FFA throughout his high school career, earning the chapter award his sophomore year. He has been involved with FCCLA during his sophomore, junior, and senior years, and he has been a scholar athlete throughout all 4 years of his high school career. Ty was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires him, and he said Mrs. Jarvis inspired him. Ty said she is more than a teacher. She puts in the extra effort to care about each of us personally and makes calls to our parents even when she has a lot going on. She always strives to make our class fun and interesting. Regarding Ty, Mrs. Jarvis said, "I have had the pleasure of teaching Ty for the past 3 years. Ty is one of the most honest, hardworking, and respectful students in my class. His work ethic and self-motivation are beyond his years. Ty brings an enthusiasm to the cooking class that rubs off on his peers. I get so excited when I say free day to see what kind of food he cooks next. I am honored that I have been able to be a small part of his journey. The quality I most admire about Ty is his commitment and dedication to his family and friends, as well as the respect he has for his teachers. Ty is definitely worthy of this award, and Madison Plains should be proud." After graduation, Ty plans to attend college or pursue a career in the HVAC trade. Ty is the son of Heidi Howerton and Rex Sollers. Ty, we just want to say congratulations to you on all of your accomplishments. You have built an amazing record of achievement here over the last 4 years. We are very proud of you. Well done. And rounding out our student recognition session tonight, I would like to call Mr. Brent McCracken to the podium. And he has with him this evening, I believe it's the 6th grade Geisa girls basketball team, who were Geisa champs. So, Mr. McCracken, yes. Thank you for being here. Congratulations to you and your team. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Eisler. Thank you, board members, for this invite. This is means a lot to us, me personally. But I basically want to start out, I want to thank my coach, Ashley Stroud. I think without her, we probably wouldn't have been here today. I also want to thank Dave Bolin. He was our bookkeeper. He's done that for, I think, the last 3 years, actually. All 3 years, so he's been with us. So I want to thank them as well. This kind of all started about 4 years ago. It was, at the time, it was a third, fourth grade team. I was asked to coach. I thought, how hard could it be? I coached boys for quite a few years before that, multiple sports. And so I attended the first practice, and When I went home that night, I thought, what did I get myself into? But I'll give it a shot. Fast forward to this day, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's been an experience and a great journey to include all these girls. But basically, this group of girls, So that group, the third, fourth grade group, is what is to be last year's sixth grade group who won the Miami Valley Youth Basketball League gold champions. They went undefeated, which then this year would be your seventh grade girls who were OHC league champions.
Nice.
So it's pretty good accomplishments there. They were the first group that actually went completely through the GISA basketball program. So it was pretty nice to see that accomplishment as well this year, and hopefully it continues on year after year. So then this group, the following year, fourth graders, we had some third graders as well, because this is a mix, it's fifth and sixth grade. So I want to make sure everyone's aware of that. But that group, we won games, we lost games, we ended up going to the silver brackets, and we were champions of the silver brackets, so that was a nice accomplishment. And then the following year was fifth grade, which was last year, same group of girls. They ended up going through undefeated season 11-0 and won the gold bracket champion in that particular league. And then this year, they're sixth graders, again, fifth and sixth grade. Coming into this season, we were the champs from last year, so we had the target on our backs. Was kind of worried about, well, how would the season go? But I knew, I had confidence, I knew that a lot of them were doing a lot of off-season training, taking it upon themselves to get better. First practice we got together, I could see that individually and as a group. We were way better than we were last year, and last year we were undefeated. So I felt confident in them. We started out the season, we played Southeastern, we won 47-12. Wow. So I felt pretty good. I thought, okay, this is a good start. We come in the next day, we play West Jeff, we beat them 47-0. So again, a good group of girls playing well together.
Wow.
And all that. So then, following weekends, I kept telling them, I said, look, each game is not going to be like this. There will be games where we'll play better teams, will be closer, but do what you need to do. Do your job, and you'll be just fine. I had no worries. So then next weekend we came on Greenview, which if everyone knows, Greenview, playing at Greenview is probably the toughest game of anyone's season. So we went into Greenview. We ended up winning that game 36-16. Very impressive, because the previous year we played them in the semifinals, and then we played Cedarville in the championship to win the championship last year. We go 11-0. The next game we played Cedarville, again probably our second toughest team to play. We came out and we won that one 30-13. So yeah, very impressive. Very, very good job. Well done. We continue to go on. Most of our games weren't really close. I'm not going to go through them all and read them. But we ended up coming into to the semifinals again. This year it was reverse order. We're playing Cedarville first. We beat them 25-7, and then we played Greenview for the championship and won 33-26. That was probably our closest game all season. So very impressed, very happy for these group of girls. I did tally it up. I did want to mention one thing. We scored a lot of points. And for a youth basketball league or a youth basketball team, they ended up scoring 396 points in the season in 11 games, which I thought was very impressive, especially for youth basketball. Their defense was phenomenal, and I think that's what basically won our games for us, even though we scored points. That 396 points scored, we only gave up 125 points. So when you think of that, that's very good defense. But yeah, very happy. So with that said, I'd like to introduce each and every one of them. I know one couldn't be here tonight, so we'll start out with her, and that's Sydney Thomas. Next up we have Grace Young. Come on up here, I'll say, call your name. Come on up here. Kinsley Bolin. Leah Straub. Anna Straub. Addison Mead. Kendall Mason. Aislinn McCracken. Sophia Stires. And Aubrey Kress. So I do want to mention our fourth graders are Kinsley, Leah, Addison, and Kendall. Fifth graders, yeah, sorry. So next year, they will have to split up, unfortunately. This is a very good group of girls. They'll have to split up next year. So hopefully we can recruit more players in both levels, fifth and sixth grade, or sixth and seventh grade next year. But great job, girls. Congratulations. And it's an honor to be here and recognized with the school board. Appreciate it.
Good job.
Well, Coach McCracken, Coach Straub, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Team, congratulations, well done. I certainly agree with what Coach McCracken said. It is unfortunate that you will be split up, but I think for the hope for all of us in the room is that we look forward to when you would come back together in high school and are playing 9 through 12, and we do look forward to good things in between now and then, but we certainly look forward to those times as well, and hope to put some championship banners up in the gym over to MPHS. So, well done. Congratulations. We're very proud of you. Keep up the great work, okay? Thank you. Thank you.
I did want to mention, too, we brought the trophy for the championship, so
nice.
It's over there.
Mr. President, that concludes our student recognition portion of the meeting.
I just want to take a second. I'm obviously very biased, but it's a special group of girls, and I look forward to seeing them grow together, and I appreciate GAISA deserves a lot of the credit too. People put a lot of their volunteer hours in it, and it's really starting to pay off, so I appreciate all the involvement that everybody in GAISA has done. And now we'll go to employee recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. And if I could, I would like to have Mrs. Kate Regal come up to the podium, or perhaps right next to the podium. Yeah, no, you don't have to talk, don't worry. Our employee of the month this month, the one that we are recognizing, is Mrs. Kay Regal. And Kay is one of our staff members at the K-6 building. She has been a teacher, and ultimately this year is serving as a math specialist, and has just done a heck of a job. And we wanted to honor her this month, and so I have some information that has been shared by some colleagues, and I will go ahead and read that. Well, let me just start. I might have a little bit of editorial commentary in here at some point. So, this is from Mr. Miller. It is an honor and a privilege to recognize Kay Regal for our staff recognition. Mrs. Regal's journey began at Madison Plains 32 years ago. Now that's where I want to stop. Mr. Miller wrote that, not me. So the fact that he's, you know, saying that you're a veteran teacher, you know, we'll let him deal with that. Her career started in 1990 at Mount Sterling, where she taught fourth and fifth grade students for 19 years. In 2009, she transferred to Midway Elementary, where she taught fourth and fifth grade for 2 years. When the school district consolidated the three elementary buildings, she moved to third grade and stayed at that grade level for 10 years. This year, she has taken on a different role for the district and has become our math specialist to help fill in the gaps of those students who may be struggling. Mrs. Regal has touched the lives of many students at Madison Plains over the course of her career, and her dedication and desire for education does not go unnoticed. Mrs. Regal is a graduate of Madison Plains and Bowling Green State University. Mrs. Regal's family is her greatest blessing. She and her husband have 5 children and 6 grandchildren. I cannot thank Mrs. Regal enough for all of her hard work and passion that she puts forth to meet the needs of our students and staff. He says, I appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much. The next person who wrote some comments is Mrs. Moss Lenz. She writes, Kay is a strong teacher that connects learning in ways that inspire her students to learn more and strive for greatness. You can see that she is a teacher who loves teaching, and she teaches children to love learning. From Mrs. Ford, Kay Regal plays a crucial role in the success of our students at Madison Plains Elementary and Intermediate School. I have truly enjoyed the opportunity to work with Kay over the past 2 years. Last year, as a third grade teacher, Kay was always prepared to give her students the best possible education, even during the craziness created by the pandemic. This year, Kay has embraced our new math specialist position. Her passion for her students and their success does not go unnoticed. She has stopped by my office or caught me in passing many times to express concerns for students or share ideas. Kay is also willing to step in and help out where she is needed. She truly has the best interest of our students in mind. Madison Plains Local School District is fortunate to have Kay on our team. And from Mrs. Erica Valerie, words cannot truly describe how grateful I am to work with Mrs. Regal. She has been such a significant part of our third grade team for many years. I've had the unique opportunity to work with Mrs. Regal as a parent and as a colleague. She's patient, kind, and dedicated to the children she teaches and our small community. I couldn't imagine Madison Plains without you. Thank you for being a great teacher that goes above and beyond, not just during the hours of our school day. So Mrs. Regal, we thank you so much for everything that you do for the Madison Plains Local School District, our students, our families, and this community. We are blessed to have you here, and we are appreciative of everything you do. Thank you. Mr. Mason, that concludes the employee recognition portion of the meeting as well. And at this point, anyone who is here for student recognition or employee recognition, you are free to go. You have seen the best part of the meeting. No offense to anybody else.
Move to board work session.
And Mr. President, unless somebody else has something, I don't think we have anything for board work session this evening.
All right. Public communication first session. I don't see anybody signed up. Todd, did you see anybody signed up over there?
There's nobody signed up.
Okay. So now we'll move to approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the February 15, 2022 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now move to department reports.
Mr. President, the first person that I would like to call to the podium is Mr. Eric Griffith. He will provide us with an update regarding the technology department. And I would like to thank Mr. Griffith for being here.
Thank you very much.
So.
Good deal. All right, so the goal of the technology department is to support mission-critical technology for the district and strive for teaching and learning in the classroom to make sure that's constantly supported. And so we've had a bit of slow time getting started just because there's a lot of technology here. So some of the things that we've gone through are, you know, resolved printer issues, projector issues, prepping for testing, different things like that. We have a lot of Chromebooks that need updated and supported and different things like that. In fact, there are some of them back here in a pile, they're just resting, but they'll be ready for testing very soon. So we're fixing those as well, and staff laptops. A while ago, staff laptops were purchased, and we're in the process of making sure that all of those bugs are good to go. So
would you like me to get that?
I can do that. Since I'm technology support, I can knock that off at the same time. So anyway, we also have, going forward, we're going to be upgrading specific classrooms, the technology in classrooms, and starting a technology rotation cycle so that not all of your technology is purchased in one lump sum. every couple of years. We'll be purchasing smaller cycles of it so that we can support it. It's more sustainable and manageable. Like that, things on that box will be staff devices like laptops. Even though every staff member will have a newish laptop, we'll still be purchasing a certain amount. So again, we don't get overwhelmed when we need to support and replace them all. Student Chromebooks, classroom projectors, and interactive flat panel displays are just some of the technologies that we hope to bring to that. So in addition, we have some summer projects, which the treasurer and superintendent may talk more about. A network infrastructure upgrade, where we'll upgrade the network and all the switches and things in the closet that make the connectivity so that we can get online and do different things in the classroom. It will be something that will be sustainable for the next 10 years. So the access points may not last 10 years only because the technology will be upgrading so fast that we might have to swap those out. But this network switches in the closet, which are the most expensive things, that will last us for the next 10 years. So that is paid through E-rate. 70% of that is paid through E-rate. So that's one project that's coming up. And the other is a phone system. We'll be replacing the phone system to a more cost-effective phone system, which I'll let Todd talk more about when we get to that point. But lots of exciting things in the technology department, getting us moving and forward with technology. So happy to answer any questions you guys have as well.
Eric, maybe just tell them how many people we have working here in the district, yourself and...
Depending on the day. Today we had two people, myself and our technician. But our standard schedule going forward, we have one full-time technician that works about 8.5-9 hours a day. And then we have myself that works 1 to 2 days, just depending on tasks. I handle more of the administrative supervisorial stuff, but I'm also troubleshooting and fixing things in the classroom. I've been a technician for a long time. It's tough to take that troubleshooting gene out. So if I can fix something, I will. Just to get us moving in the right direction.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griffith. Thank Appreciate you. You being here.
Yep.
Mr. President, continuing on with this portion of the meeting, the next person I would like to have come up to speak is Mrs. Kim LaGault. And she is going to speak to us a little bit about some of the grant funds that we have.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to make you all aware, so we have some funds that are part of the American Rescue Plan that have to be geared directly towards IDEA and also early childhood education. And even though we don't provide preschool within our walls here, we do partner with the Madison-Champaign ESC and provide those for students with disabilities. So the funds that we have with that, which is in your appropriations, you'll see where those are, those will help offset some of those costs. Primarily, we've had several students move into our district this year that have a lot of extensive medical needs. That's required us to modify some of our buses so that we can safely transport students in wheelchairs and be able to change some of those. So the early childhood will be for those aid supports for those students in the preschool who need that one-on-one for safety and security reasons. And then in the school age setting, so kindergarten through 8th grade, or kindergarten through 12th grade, we have some students who are still of school age that need tight diaper, toileting, things like that. So for safety of the student and also our staff, having an adjustable table to be able to raise them so we don't have staff straining themselves, because they do have to move these students in and out of their wheelchairs throughout the day. We've seen an increase, as you can imagine, with all of the pandemic, of more students that need additional supports. So this year we were able to also bring in an additional school psychologist, not a full-time school psychologist. We have one for 84 days. A typical school psychologist services for 24. So we're going to utilize some of those funds to help offset some of those costs, which has been fantastic having that, because we're getting a lot of intervention programs that are being put into place throughout the district, because our school psychologists are able to get into the classrooms and are really making a difference with our teachers and our students. We are also looking at using some of those funds for some of our students who have more intensive sensory needs to be able to help with those compression pieces so that they can have a successful day of school. And then I've worked with Mr. Garrett as well about looking at modifying one of our swing sets to make it ADA compliant for our students who are in wheelchairs, to be able to get them out of their wheelchair and swing just like their typical peers will, but in a safe way so that we know that we're not harming our kids. So I just wanted to kind of touch base, let you know how we're using some of those services and those funds that have come into the district. They are continued needs of our students to make sure that we're providing the best opportunity for all of our kids when they come in. Do you guys have any questions?
No.
And just so you know that it is about $60,000 that has come into the district, a little over $4,000 for the early childhood, and it's $56,934 is what is coming into the district for school age services. Okay. So Mr. Mustine and I have been meeting about those to make sure where our needs are and how to make sure we're allocating those correctly.
Very good.
Thank you, Mrs. Legault. Appreciate you being here. Department reports.
Thank you. Now I'll move to superintendent committee reports.
Mr. President, just a couple of items here this evening. Number one, our academic advisory committee met on Monday, February 28th. The focus of the meeting was working on the One Needs Assessment. The One Needs Assessment is a comprehensive needs assessment tool that the state of Ohio has implemented. And is having districts utilize. It has taken the place of what was previously known as the decision framework. The information gathered through the One Needs Assessment will become part of the structure that helps us to create the One Needs Plan. That plan is going to be a three-year plan that will go take effect beginning next academic year. We currently have a one-year plan in place right now. That was what the state told us to do. But we are working to get this three-year plan together. We have been working very hard on this. There is a lot of information that is being gathered to go into this. And so our district leadership team is really putting in quite a bit of time on this to get this information together. And the plan, both the plan and the assessment are due to the state at the end of the month on March 31st. So we will work to get that submitted, and then we obviously will keep everybody posted on that. Our next meeting for the Academic Advisory, or DLT, District Leadership Team, is Monday, March 21st at 3:15 p.m. Here in the district meeting room. The other committee that I just want to report out on quickly is our Policy Committee. We do have a tentative meeting scheduled for Monday, March 4th at 5:30 p.m. here in the district meeting room. So thank you to Mr. Stonerock and Mr. Mason for being willing to attend that. We do appreciate it. And in terms of superintendent committee reports, that is all I have for this evening.
Thank you. Now we'll go to treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. First off, financial statements. We'll go through this fairly quickly. Biggest change you'll see is normally this time of year we'd start to receive our property tax advances, but as you recall, we're not taking advances any longer, and so there's an adjustment with that. So you see there in last year, and you know, typical years, we would have expected to receive around $956,000. Of course, we didn't receive that yet. That's the biggest thing that stands out there, the revenue piece. I did call to confirm that the check is, quote, in the mail for our tax settlement in one lump sum. So that will be here and show up in the report next month. On the expenditure side, we're 1.1% below our estimates on our expenditures. And we ended the month of February with $2,270,740.59. Our revenue, as you can see, we're more than halfway through the year, but we've yet to collect that property tax revenue. So it shows us at less than half where we should be at this time of year. And you'll see that on the next one, because this is the revenue at this point in time, same point in time last year and previous years. You see we fall well short. Now that revenue will start showing up in March. Start seeing most of that revenue show up in March. So that's just that adjustment period, moving from, you know, receiving advances to not receiving advances. The expenditure side, again, we have more control over that, of course. We are only 0.2% over where we were the same point in time last year. We do our best to keep that flat. I mean, that's one of the more flat expenditure growth charts you'll see out there. And we continue to maintain that to the best of our ability. So. Our cash position right now, our cash flow analysis, again, $2.2 million in February. You see, this is, again, the result of the advances where we take a dive, where normally we would have been growing our balance at this point in time. So you see that big decrease right here compared to where we are normally. What you will see in March, though, is something more of a large increase because we'll be receiving that all at once. So you'll see that jump right back up there in March. So nothing to worry about there. And we look to end the year with $2.7 million right now is where we look to end the year. And that concludes the financial statements, financial reports. If you don't have any questions, I'll move on to the appropriations. We do have some in the appropriations.
Not really a question, just more of a statement. I appreciate you pointing out that expenditure growth. You know, I'm sure we're going to be coming to the permanent improvement fund, putting that levy back on there. Anytime we put money in front of people, we understand how hard they work to get their money. We take it very seriously, and I think that's one of the main things we can control is our expenditures. So I appreciate you pointing that out, and I appreciate all the hard work that everybody in the district does to minimize our expenditures.
I appreciate that, yeah. What I like to see about that is the limited growth over a long, sustained period of time. Yeah. You know, a lot of times you can do something for 1 year. It's difficult to do something like that over a number of years. So good things pay off when you do it for a long period of time like that. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I think it's helping. Moving on to the appropriations, we have before you an amended appropriations resolution. In the executive content, you'll see there why those increases are. And I put it in executive content. There's no reason it couldn't be public content, so it's on the screen now. The Permanent Improvement Fund, we have a $53,000 increase for the network equipment that was previously referenced by Mr. Griffith. That is our cost. Again, 70% is paid by federal E-rate dollars. These are Category 2 funds. They don't come up all that often. Every 2 to 3 years? Yeah, you can use it over a period of 2 years, I think, but there's one max amount. So if we had any left over, we could continue to use it. But we've pretty much exhausted everything that's there with this purchase. And what this is going to do is shore up our backbone, like Mr. Griffith mentioned earlier, to our network infrastructure, which is past due. So $53,000 there, it's about $180,000 total cost of the project. So some significant savings that's being paid for by E-rate with that to help us do that. $27,000 roughly for the new phone equipment. Previously we had leased our phones, and when Windstream decided to stop providing our service, the phones would go back to Windstream. And so we were paying for phone service and leasing the phones to the tune of around $3,000 a month. This is a $27,000 purchase of phone equipment, but we will be saving roughly $2,800 a month on our phone service moving forward. So we will quickly recoup the cost of that equipment over around 9 or 10 months, and then after that we should realize a savings between $25,000 and $30,000 a year on that. Another savings and another reason why the PI levy is important is, you know, that cost for the equipment's coming out of the PI fund. So as those types of purchases do in our district, so it's important to renew that. But again, the additional costs coming out of the PI fund, the savings are going to come out of the general fund. Yeah. So that's very beneficial. The other thing we have there is the Chromebook purchase. We had to appropriate and purchase, have a PO in place to purchase those Chromebooks that we purchased through the emergency connectivity funds until we received reimbursement back from the E-rate funding. So we still are waiting on that reimbursement, but in the meantime, want to go ahead and shore up those appropriations to cover that cost. Once we receive that reimbursement, it's $116,000, we'll post that as a reduction of an expense, so the funds will go back into the PI fund, and then we can reallocate those funds. We have other available projects that we're looking at moving into the summer. So we shouldn't have to come back and ask for any additional increases. We should just be able to utilize those funds in other areas. So that's the PI fund. The food service fund, there was a $62,000 increase due to additional meals that have been served due to increased participation, as well as an increased food costs due to the supply chain shortages and the supply chain issues. Food has been different at times and it's cost more at times. The good thing about that is the revenue has increased as well, the reimbursements that we're receiving from the federal government for that. So we do anticipate covering those costs with the revenue being received. So that's there out of food service. Then we have the school bus purchase program. We have been awarded $180,000 to purchase 4 school buses. Now $180,000 doesn't buy 4 school buses, it's a partial amount. So that's $45,000 per bus. The buses cost around $110,000 a piece. So it will help us significantly, but there will still be a need on the PI fund next year to the tune of around $220,000 to be able to utilize these funds and our PI funds to purchase 4 new buses, we've been playing catch up for the last 5 years. Mr. Griffith talked about, you know, purchasing cycles. We've had the buses on a purchasing cycle here for about the last 5 years, buying 2 buses per year. We have 21 routes, you know, that's 21 buses. So if we do 2 buses a year, by the time we get to the end, the oldest bus is 10 years old.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of old buses to replace all at once. So we have buses that are older than 10 years, of course. So the goal is to get them to where they're only no more than 10 years old. This will help us get to that point, continue to get to that point. So if the state continues to fund us to that level, we'll be able to turn those buses over quicker and keep better buses on the road. Again, this is a PI fund cost, but it could result in general fund savings because newer buses are more fuel efficient, require less repair, less maintenance, so that'll show up in the general fund.
Okay.
The other one here is what Mrs. LaGault mentioned earlier is the ARP IDEA. There's the ARP IDEA and the ARP Early Childhood. Those are additional funds received for special education costs and for early childhood costs. So you see those amounts there. So of course we receive funds, we have to appropriate the funds in order to be able to utilize them. So that's what you have there for the amended appropriations. So that should do it for amended appropriations for a while. There may be another round once we get into May or June for cleanup at the end of the year just to make sure all our ducks are in a row, but that should get us through to the end of the year. For our amended appropriations.
Very good.
All right. If there are any questions, then that concludes my report for the evening.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-4 and I-5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now I'll move to Superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. A number of items for discussion this evening, the first of which is the Scholastic Booster Auction. On Saturday, March 5th, the Scholastic Boosters had their 75th annual Scholastic Booster Auction. And you could tell from the moment you walked in the door, it was going to be a big day because of how many people were in the gym. It always draws a big crowd, but on that day when I walked in, I was blown away. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people. It was awesome. And this year, the final auction total before expenses was $47,008, and after expenses, the final profit was $43,208. So this is the best year that the auction has ever had. Prior to this year, the best year was 2020, The total that year was $23,000, which was a lot of money. This year bested that by $20,000. Prior years have been in the range of $10,000 to $15,000. So the committee, and I think lots of people involved, cannot believe the amazing success that this year's Scholastic Booster Auction had. It was fun to be there. I want to thank Valerie Eads and her team for everything that they did to bring this together. They have it down to a well-oiled science, and it's amazing to watch them go. And I also want to thank everybody from our community who was there and participated. Just an amazing outpouring of generosity that benefits our students in terms of scholarships here at the end of the year for our seniors. So it is a wonderful thing, and again, thank you to everyone involved, and thank you to Valerie Eads and her team. But it was an awesome day. The next item on the agenda is just a quick COVID-19 pandemic situation report. At the moment, we do not have any confirmed cases. We have 4 suspected cases at the moment. And the big thing that I just would like to make our community aware of is that the Ohio Department of Health has changed requirements in terms of notifications and communication with varying agencies. So schools are no longer required to maintain a COVID-19 reporting system for parents to report positive COVID-19 cases. They are no longer designated to have a COVID-19 coordinator for the district. School districts are no longer required to notify parents of positive COVID-19 cases among staff, students, or coaches. And school districts are no longer required to report positive cases of COVID-19 to the local health departments unless the school tests a student for COVID-19 and the result is positive. These reporting requirements have gone by the wayside, and with the numbers being so low around the state, things are beginning to start to return to a more normal pre-COVID form of operation. So we are taking a look at a few things, and are going to make some decisions on some things here in terms of what we need to do. But we are beginning to feel like, and of course, and my hope and my prayer is that it doesn't spike again, but it is still out there, of course, as I was reminded today. But ultimately, things are looking pretty good around the state, and things are looking good for us. So we'll keep you posted on things, but we're looking pretty good. So I want to spend a minute talking about varsity letters and letterman's jackets. We, at the moment, our current letter and a lot of the jackets that are out there do not comply with the branding guide that we have in place. And so one of the things that we are working on is trying to bring that into alignment. And so this is the new athletic letter that we are looking at. It matches our branding guide both in terms of font and also in terms of color. The ones that are out there currently do not. One of the things that is important to us is that we try to keep our branding consistent, and we want the gear that is being worn by our students, we want it, of course, to look cool. And so we are having some conversations with a local vendor who helps to provide a lot of this. And I know one of the concerns about this particular letter, because we've got the M and the P, it takes up a little bit more real estate on the front of a letterman's jacket. I know there has been some concern that this will not fit on a small. We have actually been to a local vendor and held it up to the jacket. It is a tight fit, but it does fit. And so this is something that we are looking to go to. We are talking to one of the local vendors as well about colors for the letterman's jackets and styles. And again, we want them to not only be aligned with the branding guide, but we want it to look cool. We know our kids want to look cool. I want to look cool. And we want everybody who's wearing MP gear to look cool. So we are looking to try to get some stuff together that we think our kids and our community will like, that honors the branding guide, and really this honors a lot of the tradition as well in the district. So we are looking to put that together, and so I wanted to mention that as well. Couple of other things. We are going to have our before the pandemic began about 2 years ago, we had a committee of people, a core committee of people that had gotten together to begin talking about our facilities. And I think the goal was that at the end of the process, if it had been completed, whenever that would have been, that we would be engaging our community and asking them to support the idea of building new facilities or doing a major renovation. Obviously the pandemic hit, and so that those discussions went by the wayside for a little while. But the condition of our facilities has continued to deteriorate. And so we are at the point where we have some significant needs. Our facilities are deteriorating. And so we are going to, now that the pandemic seems to be waning, we are going to get this committee back together. The committee that will meet first is a core committee of people. It is a smaller group, and that group is going to meet on Monday, April 18th, and we will begin to have some discussions, and then at some point we are going to ask a larger group of committee members to come together and be a part of some discussions that can help us determine what direction we want to go as a community. So there will be opportunities for more people to participate. That is something that's going to be very important to me. I want as many people to be a part of this as possible. So we will work to do that. I also want to just mention here at the meeting tonight, it has come up in some other meetings within the district about the condition of the track. At this point in time, we are not able to hold track meets here at home. The track is in very poor shape. Repairing it is an expensive proposition. And I have asked some of my team to contact some vendors, and we are going to go be about the business of getting some estimates on what it would cost to make that repair. And this will become part of the conversation that we are going to have around facilities in the district. The other piece that is really kind of, I'll say, rearing its ugly head, our playground equipment is in really, really poor shape as well. And within the last couple of weeks, I have been asked to walk down there and see two of the other pieces of equipment that have sustained damage to the point, I don't want to say sustained damage, but they're breaking, they're wearing out because of all the wear and tear. It's old equipment. And there are two more pieces down there that can no longer be used until they are repaired or replaced. And it looks like it's going to, at least with the one for sure, probably both, it's going to involve a replacement. So we are looking at that also. We are looking at ways that we can fund that as well through some possible, a little bit of outside of the box thinking perhaps. So we will see. But these are discussions that are important to have, and we certainly want to do that. And so those are things that we are going to do, and I will work to keep the board updated on where we are. And of course, there will be board members involved in some of those conversations. So that is one piece. The final piece that I have in terms of discussion items tonight, there is a tolls report for the Madison Plains Local School District on the agenda this evening. Just a couple of things about tolls and where they're at right now with some things. They have had a record number of applications this year, which is good. We certainly do like that. That is a wonderful thing for tolls, and it's a wonderful thing for our students. There are some amazing opportunities there for students to get some hands-on learning. And so, but that is there. And one of the pieces that's mentioned down there towards the bottom of the page, on April 27th, Tolles is going to be hosting a program for all of its associate school board members, it's their superintendents and their treasurers. They're going to have a program where they're going to showcase some of the programs that are at Tolles, and then at 7 o'clock there's going to be a dinner for everyone who attends. That dinner, as it will be prepared by the culinary arts students at Tolles. So at the moment, it is not looking very likely like Mr. Mustine and I are going to be able to attend because we have another commitment that evening. But for those of you that can attend, I would strongly encourage you to do so. Would love to have a strong presence from Madison Plains at this event. Again, it is April 27th, I believe. Information about invitations will be coming shortly. But it is April 27th. The program is at 6, and then the dinner will be at 7. So just wanted to put that on everybody's radar. Okay? So, Mr. President, in terms of discussion items for the evening, that is all I have.
I appreciate you going through that stuff. Just a couple of things that I want to point out. The track repairs and the playground equipment, those type of things, they will come up in the broader discussion that we're talking about that kind of starts April 18th, that bigger picture. But a lot of those plans could take a few years to implement. I think as a board, that's why I'm glad you're getting estimates now. As a board, we can make decisions if we want to try to address stuff now, you know, to keep functioning as we're moving along. So I think that's important to point out. It is going to be discussed in the bigger picture, but also be discussed as far as more what is an immediate need and what we're going to put resources towards. So just so hopefully maybe next month, if you have those numbers back, we can just get an idea of what we're looking at as far as repair, replace, whatever we're talking about. What else do I have here? So just to go back to something we talked about, one, great to hear the COVID numbers are where they're at. Kind of going back to something we talked about a few months ago, parent involvement in parties at school. So maybe next month give us where we're at with that, if that's something we can let the parents be involved again. Again, that's good news. I appreciate you talking about the Tolles process. We're going to talk about the MOU with Tolles here in a minute, but I'm very excited about that. The satellite program is going to give our kids an opportunity to, it's called Career Explorations, and just expose them to a lot of different things. So I think it's a good thing for Madison Plains students. So,
you too.
Cool. All right. Anybody else have anything?
No, that was good.
All right. So now we'll move to policy and governance.
Thank you, Mr. President. And ladies and gentlemen of the board, what is before you this evening is an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, for some satellite programming at Madison Plains Junior High School and High School. The goal is to be able to provide a semester of programming for our 7th and 8th graders in career explorations, and then a year of programming either in the 9th grade or 10th grade year for some of our high school students. We haven't decided yet whether that'll be 9th or 10th grade, so there's some flexibility there. I know there are some concerns at the high school about the 9th graders and their schedules, so we will work through all of that, but the important thing is that this is put in place so that we can get those things wrapped up, dot our I's, cross our T's, and get our kids being able to take advantage of this programming. Tolles has a goal of being able to, of putting a satellite program on each of their satellite schools' campuses. And so this is how we are working to do this here. And I want to thank Tolles and their staff and superintendent, Dr. Hoadley, for his hard work with this. This is a wonderful thing for Madison Plains students.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items K2.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Ranchell?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now we'll move to business.
And Mr. President and members of the board, what is before you in the business portion of the agenda this evening is the approval of the program of study for the Tolles satellite program. So we will be able to take the course descriptions that are there, and once they are approved, we'll be able to put them in our course description guide and be able to get students registered for those. The other two things that are there are some of the items that we had talked about earlier in the meeting. The one is the E-Rate program, technology upgrade, technology network upgrade. This is something that is very important. We talk about aging facilities. This is part of the issue. And so that is there. And then the approval for the VoIP phone system upgrade as well. The board knows, Windstream has told us, and they've told a lot of people, not just us, but they've told a lot of people, but people who are using the antiquated technology that we are using, they are no longer going to support it, effective at the end of April. And so we have taken steps here since they have notified us in early February to begin to prepare ourselves for that. So this will involve a transition over spring break, but this is something that we need to do. So those items are before you this evening. And as Mr. Mustine mentioned as well, there is an upfront cost here, but at the end of the day, on a monthly bill, we're going to be saving a significant amount of money because we are purchasing the equipment and not leasing it. So I do feel good about that, and we will recoup these costs.
Along with having a better service as well. So we should have a more stable, improved, new features type of service for our phones. The other thing I'll just add is that with both of these projects, we did receive multiple bids, multiple proposals. We followed the E-Rate process for our E-Rate purchases, of course, and then we also did a request for a proposal for our phone system. So for both of those, you know, we were able to select not only the lowest, but the lowest and the best bidders for both of those. Not all the time are the lowest bids the best, but in this case, I'm confident that they are. So we're not purchasing the Cadillac system for the phones. We are getting an increase in our service, but there are better systems out there that with things that we may not necessarily need. But this is the a way that we were able to improve our system and still save funds in the long run. The same thing with the network upgrades. Some proposals we received were around $500,000 for that. We ended up with a proposal that was around $180,000. So which is good for the district because we still have to pay for 30% of that. We were able to be financially responsible, fiscally responsible with both of those purchases. So
good. That's great.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel or business items L2 through L4.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now we move to personnel.
Mr. President, and a few personnel items for you this evening. There are some supplemental contracts on the agenda before you. Happy to report that we are employing a substitute bus driver, so that will be something that will be helpful for us. Mr. Noble is a veteran of our system, so good to have him back. He started working for us on March 4th and has been working, I know he's worked several days already. We have the resignation of a junior high track coach before you. The resignation of our high school soccer coach, and then we have a bus driver resignation, and then we have a teacher resignation for the board as well this evening. For all those who are leaving us, we are sad to see them go, but we wish them the very best.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 to M7.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrod?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Next is donations.
And Mr. Mason, there are no donations this evening. All
right. I don't see any new business on there either. So now we'll go to the second public communication. Anybody signed up? So nothing there. So now I move that we enter into executive session at 7:59 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the appointment and employment of a public employee, Section 4, preparing for negotiations, and Section 6, specialized details of security arrangements.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Nikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Executive session.
Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be April 19th at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room, and no action will be taken after the executive session.